Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good morning.
Yeah. Morning.
Good up, morning.
Just want to get this out the way before we get going here.
What's up?
If that, how those highlights, they just look different to me. I'm just saying, they look different than Joker's. They just look different.
Why are you always trying to bring it back to the MVP?
Jokic, the Joker?
Yeah, it just looked different. That's all.
Like Batman? What do you say?
Did you see what Joker did last night?
Yeah, but they look different. That's all. Backing the dude down, just being aggressive and dunking on you.
It was against Tristan Thompson.
I don't care. It looked different. That's why I said, let me get it out the way.
But what Key just did is why we have to call him the Eggman, because he got confused. He thought his name was Jokic because his nickname's the Joker. If we just call him the Eggman, we wouldn't have this problem.
So Jokic, Joker, Egg, Joke, right Egg, Joke, like Joker.
You would immediately think of Jokic. You would immediately think of Jokic if his nickname was just the Eggman.
I get names wrong all the time. That's Jokic. He balls out consistently. Can we talk Embiid?
I get names crossed up all the time. It ain't the end of the world. I'm moving forward. It's going to Pluto, baby.
Today, it's not just Embiid.
Afterwards, make sure you say the name right. You know what I mean?
Hey, Jay, I can't wait for you to mess up a name because you love you. I just let it go over my head with you. I don't say nothing. Hey,
I know what this is. Hey, I don't care. I wasn't you talk 8,000 names a day.
I wasn't trying to bring attention that you messed up his name. I was trying to bring attention to the fact that it's not your fault, Key, because the guy's nickname doesn't match his name.
Yeah, that's true.
Evan's on this thing with what he wants to. Remember how I want to make Joe Thoreau stick instead of, right? He wants to make the Eggman stick. It just doesn't sound right, though.
He just pushes
like
for
the Eggman.
Every day.
Eggs are fragile and.
That's how Yates feels about the name Eggman and also Jokic itself.
I'm cool with Jokic. It's just the whole Eggman thing.
And also, like Goose Gossage, relief pitcher, because he put up goose eggs. Those are zeros. Like, eggs are not a positive thing in sports, usually. Yeah. You got to come. But I do understand the yolk. I get it. He wants to clean up the name.
I didn't mean to get us off track.
I'm glad that you think Jokic is better than Embiid. I think Embiid's a little better than Jokic, Key, but we could talk about that another time.
Okay, never mind.
He took the cheese. I'm leaving it alone.
So we're going to get to LeBron's injury in 10 minutes. That's right. You heard me right. Plus, Russell Westbrook responds to fans calling him Westbrick. He wants to control what the fans say out loud in the arena now, I guess. But we start with the team that looks like they might be the favorites for the NBA title right now, and that is your Philadelphia 76ers, who are now undefeated 5-0 since James Harden started playing after last night's 121-106 win over the Bulls. Here's James Harden.
I'm not nervous. It's basketball. I put the work in to go out there and just play my game and live with the results. Every game is a big game for us. We're fairly new. We got championship aspirations, and so every game is a learning process for us, no matter who we're playing. Brooklyn is going to be a tough challenge, but that's no different than, tonight's Chicago Bulls team.
Mm. You got not only those two who've been by the way, of course, James Harden's additive. Look what he did to Brooklyn last year. He just rolled out of bed in 30-point triple-double. And last night, I don't think he had 20, but he had a gang of assists. Embiid went off. Guys, Tyrese Maxey's drawing extra defensive attention and kicking it. He's got a crazy first step. Danny Green is playing defense defenders. Zach LaVine's going to get you sometimes. But that's a nice 3-and-D wing. The Sixers are real.
They are, and I learned my lesson because I bet for Duke to cover this weekend. They did not cover, so I went to go against the grain against my own team. 76ers covered last night. And Yates, I took the under. Yes. Anyway.
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh, no. Good win for me last night, but I do want to
say. Hope you didn't bet $1,500.
Oh, yeah, I bet we'll get everything Calvin Ridley bet.
Yeah, what? We'll get into that in a little bit.
But I have to tell you, even though the Bulls didn't have Vucevic last night, Lonzo Ball, Patrick Williams, he's been out from all the year pretty much, Alex Caruso, a lot of missing parts for the Bulls. We can get into the Bulls conversation a little bit later. But it feels right when you watch the 76ers play. Just the way Joel Embiid reads every P&R pick and roll situation for James Harden, how James Harden makes the easy reads, how Tyrese Maxey, you made mention of that, his name, how he pushes the ball down the floor. Tobias Harris has not even been activated yet. But still, this team, everything that Matisse Thybulle, George Niang, all the pieces seem to fit. Now, we'll see when it gets into playoff time. But like I said before, when you got Joel Embiid and James Harden on the same team, it has a chance to be the best pick and roll the game has ever seen. And I'm including John Stockton and Karl Malone.
They didn't shoot the three like these guys. Malone certainly didn't.
I mean, they got two of the best players in the NBA this year. And anytime you got two players like this on your team, you should dominate pretty much every single opponent night in and night out. They're 5-0 with James Harden. He missed the one game. They probably certainly would be 6-0 with him. You look at what he brought to the table. Not only is he bringing quiet leadership, you could tell that the 76ers have a different pop to their game now. They're not walking around feeling like Embiid is the only guy. And I thought that that's the way it was from the start of the season up until the point that they acquired James Harden. Embiid, night in and night out on a consistent basis, is dominating. And I joked about the highlights that I saw in the pre-show that we were showing about how physical he is in the rim, at the rim. I mean, he's just continually showing us that imposing threat that he has. And then he backs out at the three. He pulls the three. Then James Harden is being James Harden. I mean, like you said, Max, he rolls out of bed and just gives you a triple-double. You know, and what can you say about that other than they're going to be there in the end?
Key, this is not speculation. This is fact. This is the easiest the game has looked for Joel Embiid his entire career. It's the easiest. Look at the highlights. All he is doing is making reads. It's like, this is kind of like similar to watching Joel Embiid when he was at Kansas, right? Like, he was a man among kids. But now he has a guard that attracts so much attention. He made mention of it after the first game. Coming off a ball screen, how does the big not go out and respect James Harden's ability?
Right there.
So he just draws so much attention. And you got the weak side with guys like Danny Green, guys like Tyrese Maxey that can catch, rip, drive to the basket. So you have to stay true and honest to the weak side. It just opens up the entire middle of the court. All of our highlights are Joel Embiid getting dunks at the rim.
Yeah, yeah. When you got that wide load on the baseline right there backed up on the block, and he could just take one step and turn around at the rim and forcefully just dunk on your head. That sends a message, man. That's just It's crazy. And look at the hat. Look at that. See, that don't – it just looked different. That's all I'm telling you. It just looked different.
As Jay was saying, his game is based on, like, Kobe. And, like, he has, like, moves like a guard. But if you look at the way this team is constructed, Daryl Morey, who somehow managed to turn Ben Simmons into James Harden, not C.J. McCollum, who's a nice player, but James Harden, without giving up – Tyrese Maxey, who, by the way, Maxey is almost a 90% free throw shooter. He's the high 80s. He shoots 42% from three. He's a very efficient offensive player, not just an explosive guy who can blow by you. Danny Green is an efficient offensive player. James Harden, Joel Embiid, they make the most of their possessions. I'm sure he didn't want to give up Seth Curry, right? But he was also a very efficient offensive player. That's what you get as with Daryl Morey as GM. You're going to have highly efficient pieces that fit well together. He held on to Thybulle and Maxey and turned Simmons into Harden. Abracadabra. This team at this moment, to me, looks like the favorites in the East.
Agreed.
At this moment, let's see what the Nets look like when they integrate their pieces.
Well, Victor Oladipo came back last night for the Miami Heat as well. They're a great defensive team. And Milwaukee, so...
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, presented by Progressive Insurance, from one team that made big moves at the deadline to one that stood pat and is now paying the price.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, guys, LeBron James does not play against the Spurs. The Spurs win 117-110. According to Frank Vogel, Lakers head coach, LeBron has, and this is a quote, significant, that's how he described it, soreness in his left knee coming off his 56-point effort. Vogel said the Lakers are hopeful LeBron will play Wednesday in Houston, and he said also that with the heavy load he's carrying for us this year, we know it's always a possibility, like, I guess, soreness and missing games and stuff. Guys, here's the thing. We talked about this yesterday, and I compared him to Kobe that year that Kobe willed when Dwight and Nash got traded and Gasol super team, but they were going to miss the playoffs, like this team, right? They're just going to miss the playoffs. Kobe willed them into the playoffs, but he played over 40 minutes a game, and his Achilles popped. Jay Key, I would rather something like this happen. Hey, some chronic issue, some soreness, some nagging, and he get a break than a quick acute injury. To me, this could be a blessing in disguise.
See, man, that's why we talked about this the other day, and I was like, look, I know LeBron dropped 56 points, but in 39 minutes fighting for a 9 seed right now. They lost to the Spurs last night. Spurs have won 25 games. That goes to show you the impact that you need LeBron James to play at. PER was off the charts for him that game. You need that PER to be that high every game for them to compete for a 9 seed? That's what we're asking them to do?
Key, it's not worth an acute injury. I would rather, like, a little knee soreness. I'm just saying this could be a blessing in disguise. It gives him a little rest.
Well, if he has a little bit of knee soreness, something that he's been playing with all year long, and this is the time to give him a little bit of rest. One day, one game, then you go ahead. They're on a long road trip, so to speak. I don't mind it. I'm not getting ready to go into a whole panic situation because they gave him a day off. He is older, and if you can give him a day off, that's fine. But he's ready to go again. Let's go.
How about tapering back some minutes when he, like, if this knee means
we don't have the luxury packs.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. This is what Jay means. Are you going to risk LeBron's future as a Laker great? Because he's still a great player. You want to risk that on the altar of a 10 seed?
Hey, Max, you were once upon a time young and you had a car with no tread on the tires and was bald and slick. Yep. That's what I'm trying to do with LeBron. Bald and slick. I want to run all the tread off his tires.
They are 5 games behind the Clippers for the 8th seed. The Pelicans are 1 game behind them, the Lakers, for the 9th seed.
And even to Key's point, though, Jay, from yesterday, I want to preserve LeBron so when AD gets back, they could actually make some noise in the playoffs. That's their, like, if there's any hope, it's that.
Without Anthony Davis, Max keeps saying Russell Westbrook is going to turn on the switch. He hasn't done it yet. I don't know when Max is going to give up on that.
It's going to probably rely on, you know, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and hopefully you get Davis back, within the next month here.
All the things that everybody said could be the problems for this team have happened. But guess what? The team is way worse than I would have expected.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio. So let's stay with the Lakers. Russell Westbrook's wife took to social media to detail the criticism and even, and this is a quote, death wishes her family received. Kind of a sick person sends that to Westbrook's family. Because he misses a shot? You want to send a family? That's insane. Westbrook's wife, Nina, tweeted on Monday, and this is a quote, "When I'm being harassed on a daily basis over basketball games and I'm having obscenities and death wishes for me and my family sent my way because you're expressing your truth, it's hard for me to get on board with that." Now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here is Russell Westbrook himself on the impact on his family that this stretch of bad play from him has had.
My character, the shaming of who I am as a person, is not warranted. I haven't done anything to anybody. I haven't hurt anyone. I haven't done anything but play basketball a way that people may not like. And this is just a game. This is just a game. This is not my entire life. And I think that is the ultimate thing that's been for me. And I don't like to harp on. I kind of just kind of one or out the other. But once it starts to affect my family, my wife, even today, my mom said something about it today. And it affects them even going to games. Like I don't even want to bring my kids to the game because I don't want them to hear people calling their dad nicknames and out of their names for no reason because he's playing the game that he loves. And it's gotten so bad where, you know, my family don't even want to go to home games, to any game, because of, you know, not just the media across the globe use their platforms to constantly shame me.
All right. There are at least two different issues here. Let's take them one at a time. Broadly, Key, they're going at his family. And as he said, it's not just a game. It's also his occupation. But people are sending death wishes to his wife, and they're harassing his mom, and you know that obviously is beyond the pale. You know, let's start there. Yeah.
You got to take all that in seriousness, right? When you start dealing with your family and stuff like that. But it's cowards on social media. That's why I say people on social media are cowards in general. Like, all you hide behind a keyboard and you say things. If you're gonna step to them. Then step to him. Stop talking the nonsense. This young man has kids. He has a wife. He has a mother. And it's cool to say these sort of things if that's what you feel, but put your name and your face to it. Don't hide behind it. And I think too many times people think because they buy tickets to games that they can say what they want to say, do what they want to do, and there's no consequences behind their actions. And I'm not going to sit up here and applaud it. It's ridiculous. And I don't give a damn if his wife is on social media. And I don't care if she is interacting with individuals and responding back to him. She's going to defend her family. You got to be a damn fool to think that this woman is not going to defend her family. That's all I got to say on that front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't condone anybody to get death wishes at all.
Ridiculous.
I got stuff for saying my thoughts and pieces on Kyrie. That's fine. I mean, I'm used to it in the public eye. But it's not acceptable. It's not correct. I do kind of make the argument, though, from the fans' perspective, that if you engage in that kind of talk, like for Nina, Russell Westbrook's wife, if she's going after people like Skip Bayless or Stephen A. Smith or challenge other people for the rights for her family, for her husband, then that kind of opens you up to criticism about your husband, right? I'm not condoning any kind
of... Let's
not condoning any kind
let's
of...
Let's just speak very clear. Yes. You are not... It's never okay to send death wishes to someone's
never
family.
Okay. Like, that's, I don't that, condone okay. that at all.
Let's,
never
let's
okay.
just put that aside because any adult person, and hopefully kids also understand, that's not okay. Okay, now let's deal with other kinds of criticism
yes.
directed or
at her husband, at Russell.
At Russell, and also some of that stuff hitting her. You're saying because she engages on social media, that's not a private text. That's a public proclamation, right? Then people might also engage with
people
you.
People will engage back because now you're engaged in the form of conversation.
Yeah.
But the problem with Nina in her situation is that she's responding to individuals. She's not creating the drama.
No,
she's
that's not necessarily true. Key. No, because Stephen A. and Skip Bayless are not directly quoting things to Nina. They're making...
her husband. She's going to defend her husband, just like I expect your wife to defend you.
My wife doesn't go on social media.
I expect for mine to defend me if people are attacking me and my family.
Right, but if that happens, Jay, you correct me if I'm wrong. The argument that you seem to be making.
I have to tell my wife, if she goes on social media to defend me, then she will open herself up to all the criticism that will come her way because of her defending
but
me.
But I'm trying to connect the dots. So ultimately, the issue to me, Key, that Jay is pointing out is that if your spouse does the thing you expect them to do, which is, in your case, Key, you expect them to publicly defend you, then you can't turn around and use the fact that they publicly defended you as a shield against criticism. So what Westbrook seems to be doing here is like, okay, fine, his family's going to defend him when people are like, you know, saying he's bad at basketball, whatever. I mean, because let's leave death wishes
absolutely,
alone.
Absolutely,
Then but then it seems like he's turning around and using that as a shield against any criticism, saying, hey, don't, if you're criticizing me, that will ultimately lead to someone defending me and my family, and now you're kind of going at my family. That's where it gets to be a gray area.
See, I don't see it. I don't see it that way. I see it as whether it's Stephen A., whether it's whoever Jay mentioned another name, whatever the case may be, if they are directing it at Russell Westbrook and his wife feels like it is getting too egregious and she wants to defend her husband, I have no issues with that whatsoever at all, period. She is an active person on social media. And if your wife isn't, Jay, that's you and your family's priority, right? I mean, that's your prerogative, is that you don't want your family on social media, which is fine. But Westbrook's wife, Nina, decides she's going to defend her family and her husband. I take nothing away from that at all. I'm sorry. I just don't.
No, I don't have an issue with her defending her family at all. I just – there's you just have to understand that if you decide to engage in that kind of talk on social media, that social media will then respond to you and criticize you because you're making yourself part of the conversation.
There's another layer to this that I want to get to quickly because – he then takes it a step further. This is the most interesting part to me because obviously if you're going at Westbrook and at Westbrook's family because he misses some shots, shut up. Grow up, right?
Agreed.
Okay. But, you know, and by the way, that speaks to the way you're raised. I'm sorry. And the reason I'm bringing that up, that does not reflect well on the way you were raised, period. I know some people are sensitive about that, but period. Because you got a last name. And that last name reflects on your parents. And by the way, that's what Westbrook is talking about when he says, but this is why it's tricky for me. He says, when you call me Westbrick, my kids carry around that name. My parents are proud of that name. I'm proud of that name. Now it's crossing over into shaming. That's the reason that's tricky for me is he's right. But when you become a public figure, you are holding up your name, which is also your family's name, to be glorified potentially, but also to be mocked potentially. Mm-hmm. That's part of the risk. And so while I understand his sensitivity, like, hold on, this is me. But when you go at my last name, you're going at my family and my legacy. That's kind of the cost of doing business. Your last name, you know, they might say Westbrick. And key to me, that is interesting that he's taking it there.
Look, I done been called some of the craziest things in the world, man, as a player. It doesn't matter to me, right? Me, Sean, whatever you want to call me, I can care less. Care less.
Yeah. All right. Well, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A lot to unpack.
We need to continue to talk about that.
Agreed. This has to breathe a little bit. A year suspension for betting on himself. For betting on himself? A year? That's next on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell suspended Falcons receiver Calvin Ridley through at least the 2022 season.
Like everyone else, I'm kind of processing this because it's so unusual.
It seems like it's ugly. It's not going to get any better anytime soon for Calvin Ridley.
Will he be reinstated? And even if he is, do you want him back after what happened?
These kind of mistakes, you just don't make because you know the ins and outs. You know the do's and don'ts.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from the Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase.
I run ATL.
Yeah, I get money. You know who gets money? The league. They are partnerships with.
That's how you work on your mental health, Max.
The daily fantasy.
That's how you work on your mental health. You put some money down on parlays.
Well, maybe you're chasing something, Jay. Some kind of an emptiness that you need to fill with these kind of vices. All right. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell suspended Calvin Ridley of the Atlanta Falcons indefinitely through at least the conclusion of the 2022 season for betting on NFL games in the 2021 season. The activity took place over a five-day stretch during November 2021 when he was on the non-football injury list while dealing with mental health issues. So here's some of the stuff that's come out. The NFL said its investigation uncovered no evidence that Ridley used inside information or, quote, that any game was compromised in any way. Okay? There's also no evidence that any of the Falcons' coaches, staff, or players were aware of his betting activity. That's a quote. The NFL determined that Calvin Ridley placed multi-leg parlay bets involving 3, 5, and 8 games that included the Falcons to win, per source. Because that's an issue, right? Like, you don't want to, obviously, if he's betting on the Falcons to lose, that's a very bad thing. Especially if he's playing. He wasn't playing at the time. He was betting on the Falcons to win as part of a parlay. Okay, these are just the facts. The investigation determined that there was no involvement from any team players, coach, etc., placed via his mobile device out of state. The CBA warns that players are liable for suspension if they fix games. I should hope so. Bet on games, whatever. Or even knowingly associate with gamblers or gambling activity. I don't see how that part is possible. You're not going to associate like in the modern era. Integrity of the game clause. The commissioner will have the right, but only after giving the player the opportunity for a hearing at which he may be represented by counsel of his choice, right? Okay, that's the integrity of the game clause. He has the right to fine a player in a reasonable amount or suspend a player for a period certain or indefinitely and or to terminate his contract. This is according to the last NFL collective bargaining agreement. Integrity of the game clause. Okay. Key, what are your thoughts on what's going on with Calvin Ridley?
Can't do it, man. You cannot do it. It's clearly stated in the CBA. You cannot bet on games, whether you're playing, not playing. You are an active member of the National Football League. You have a contract with a football team. You cannot bet on games. How hard is that to understand? I don't get it. I don't care. They say, well, the investigation shows that he used no inside information. He doesn't have to disclose he got inside. He is the inside information. He doesn't need somebody to tell him what's going on with the Atlanta Falcons. The guy knows what's going on with the Atlanta Falcons. So, you know, he just can't do it, man.
I mean,
can't
professional gamblers also know what's going on with the Atlanta
Falcons. Not like nowhere near, Max. Nowhere near a current player in the National Football League. I don't give a damn what Vegas tell you. Mm-hmm. They don't know what's going on inside that locker room the way players do. No, I don't care.
By the way, that's fair, Key. The point you're making, just to be clear, is not an integrity of the game point. I mean, or it is a game, but the game is not football. The game is gambling. What you're talking about, having inside information, provided the player's only betting on his own team to win, not lose, right?
Doesn't matter.
Wait a minute. The integrity that you're protecting when you're saying he has inside information that he's trading upon, the game that is being referred to is the game of gambling, not the game of football. That's really what you're preserving there, according to that argument.
But
right?
but he has to have some knowledge, okay, to use to determine how he wants to place a bet. Mm-hmm. He has to have some knowledge to do that. He ain't just out there betting blind, I would hope.
No, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is what you're preserving is the fairness of the gambling experience for people, not fairness of the football game. And the rule, the spirit of the rule is put in place to preserve the integrity of the football game, which this, Jay, the argument seems to me to be here.
If you were playing, Max, it
different.
Would be outrageous.
Right, different.
Yes.
But the argument to me here seems to be slippery slope. You just don't want them touching gambling. If you investigate this case on its own merits, to me, there seems to be a minor ethical infraction and zero moral infraction here. I don't think this is a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal either.
How
I thought
can
he should have got slapped
on
the I think because he wasn't participating. He wasn't an active participant. He was on the sidelines. So
betting on his own
thing
team
is
to win.
If you want to slap him on the wrist with a fine, fine. But to say that you're not going to play the 2022 season, I think that's crazy. Especially when I get frustrated when I see leagues that are somewhat
hypocrites. I can't listen to y'all right now, man.
That's fine. You can listen for a second. When they get billion-dollar deals with gambling companies, when Tom Brady is the face of DraftKings, you have all these deals that are in place.
But now you're going to say, hey, we're accepting billions of dollars. Be part of this. This is the future of our organization. But now a guy who openly came to you and said, yeah, I had a $1,500 parlay. I hit that last night
on my team to win.
On my team to win. And other games around the league while I'm not participating. Now you're going to make him a harsh example. But what, Key?
You didn't play in the NBA last night. You're not on an NBA roster. The NBA is not paying you right now.
Key,
you cannot do that.
Key, you're telling me. Let's have a real conversation.
Yes.
You're telling me athletes in the NFL don't tell their friends what's going on teams so their friends can bet on games?
Here's what I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to be real. I can't tell you what other people do. I can only speak to what I've done.
Well, I can tell you what goes on because I know.
Which is no. I would never. I know.
Because gambling is becoming normalized now.
No.
It's becoming something.
I understand.
Legalized in more and more states.
I get it.
People are growing up with this.
I understand it. It is in a collective bargaining agreement. You cannot engage with gambling whatsoever while you are in the National Football League. You cannot be with
jaywalk, but people still jaywalk.
Jay, can I point something out? It seems to me to be the philosophical difference seems to me here to be something that comes down. We experience this often on the show. Key, it seems to me, you are a rules follower. You think it's and
well, I mean, it depends on the rules,
right? Well, no. I would say by and large, you have figured out in your life the wisdom that you've acquired over your life. Part of it's just like, you know, someone's personality, and part of it is what you discover, is that life is very simple if you follow the rules.
Absolutely, 100%, Max.
I get it, and that's one of the reasons you were a great football player, especially in football. That serves you very well, right? But many other people have the philosophies about rules following is different. It's, wait a minute, I'm going to evaluate this rule. And I will the strictness to which I will adhere to it has to do with my interpretation of if does it make a lot of sense? How
but
important
that doesn't,
is it?
But Max, that doesn't make you that doesn't mean you should go out there and break the rule because your interpretation of the rule doesn't make sense.
But I agree because let me give you an example. There may be an intersection.
Jaywalking, Max, every single day in New York City.
Yeah, right. No, but I'm going to make Key's point. There may be
they're
an intersection.
They're not enforcing jaywalking in New York City. Jaywalking Los Angeles, your ass going to get a ticket.
Yeah, that's true. But there may be an intersection.
Jaywalking L.A., you're going to get a ticket.
You're right. There may be an intersection where it doesn't make sense to you why you can't just make this little left turn. So you make the left turn, but what you didn't know is there's a blind spot over here and blah, blah, and you wind up in a traffic guy. Oh, that's why you're not allowed to make the left turn. In other words, sometimes when you think that it's okay for you to evaluate rules and pass judgment and decide which ones you're going to follow picking and choosing, you're overstepping because you're really not in a position. The reason the rule is in place is because it applies to everyone and you shouldn't make yourself an exception. On the other hand, Key, what Jay brings up about jaywalking is true. There are times where you look around and you're crossing the street in New York City and you're going to jaywalk. And if a cop were to give you a ticket for it, you'd be like, are you kidding me?
But even if you're in L.A. and you get a ticket, the ticket isn't going to be like a $20,000 ticket. That's to the level. So I'm associating Key jaywalking with gambling to a degree, right?
I understand.
So what you're saying is, hey, so you jaywalk, we're going to give you a year ban from the NFL. And you're like, but wait a second. This is so normalized now. This is like
I can make the argument, though, Jay, Key, I can make the argument that, Jay, what you're saying, because it's so normal, emphasizes and highlights what Key is saying. In other words, look, if gambling is going to be so pervasive in sports, there need to be extremely bright lines drawn. Do not cross this. Even if it seems in the moment like it's harmless, if this is going to work, we need to make sure that players don't bet. If you're in the NFL at all, don't
Max,
bet on the game.
All right, so
guess what they're doing, Max.
I was shocked that Calvin Ridley did this on his own because what guys do? You have a guy. You have friends. Guys, this has been going on in sports for a long time.
Yes.
Like, you have friends.
Jay, it's in the CBA, baby. You can't.
I hear what you're saying.
You cannot do it,
I'm
and
with
I understand.
You can't do it.
I understand the jaywalking in New York City. Again, those rules are not enforced. I understand what you just said, Max, about there need to be a nice red line that says, guess what? The red line is Calvin Ridley.
Yeah,
so the next time one of you knuckleheads out there gamble and you get caught, no, you're getting ready to risk an entire season for $1,500.
100%. What I am pointing out is that is why the punishment is so out of proportion. There is a.
Look, I'm not arguing about the egregious year ban.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't. Whatever they decide to do, he can appeal it. Whatever the case is, my whole point is, it's in the CBA.
Yeah,
I would just say, don't do it.
I'm with you on that. What's happening here, our analysis of what's actually happening is the same. Because of what Jay said, gambling's pervasive. In order to preserve the integrity of the game, there's a line you can't cross. Even if that act in crossing the line really doesn't touch the integrity of the game, don't cross this line. We're not going to go anywhere near that. What I am pointing out is what Jay is saying. That's where my heart is with it. Like, I know why he's being punished. Yeah. I know he's being made an example of because they're afraid of a slippery slope. But I just want to point out, the actual infraction itself is not crazy. A moral infraction and is a small ethical infraction that they're punishing out of proportion to do the thing you're saying, Key. It's not a big – they're making it a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal. He didn't – like, well, in other words, it's not Calvin Ridley, bad guy.
It's a big deal.
That's fine if it could be
you
a big deal.
You cannot do it.
A year that is being that, banned that, from the league.
Look, man. That is egregious, the integrity of the National Football League. Stephen Ross, same situation on tanking games, allegedly.
Well, that's different.
That is egregious to the game, man. You cannot do this.
If I found out Calvin Ridley bet against his team, I'm with you. If he's not active at the time and he's putting a parlay on some football games and it includes his team to win, I know, Key, what you're saying. You got to make an example of out of him and punish it out of proportion to send a message. But I'm not going to shake my finger at Cal. I might shake my finger at Calvin Ridley and say, not smart. But I'm not going to say bad Calvin Ridley. It's just
I don't think
not
he's
smart
a
smart.
I don't
Calvin
think
Ridley.
He's a bad guy. I think he's not, like you said, Max. Not smart.
Not right.
It's not smart. But you cannot do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't
do it, man.
Yep.
As they say, can't do it.
I don't think he committed a crime here. I just, you know, he did something you can't do. He touched the third rail, which somehow, by the way, the league.
So I'm a basketball player. Yeah. All my friends are football players. So like, oh, hey, so Julius Peppers, what's going on in this game? Okay, great. I'm in Vegas. I'm going to put down 20. So like,
that's fine, right? Yeah, because you can't. Because then they don't see it as a slippery slope.
It ain't. Hey, look though, Jay, you ain't giving me the money though. It's the money's going in your pocket.
Oh, Key, stop.
Hey, you're not giving JP the money.
I'm not giving what? You don't come on, Key.
JP the money? Key, are you giving Julius Peppers the
Key,
money?
When you were in the league, did you guys ever get in the back of the plane and gamble?
Yeah, but that's not the same,
Jay. Hold on, Key. There are always debts to be paid, man. So when debts are paid, dudes pay people money. Let's stop acting like we aren't being paid off gambling. We bet on each other on teams.
We bet on each other on things on our team. Yes, who can lift the most weights? Who can get to the air faster? How many touchdowns you going to score versus me? We do all of that with each other. We don't go outside of that locker room betting on – look, put it this way. I didn't. Go outside the locker. I don't know what everybody else did.
You're from a different generation than me. See, I came up with a generation with AAU basketball. So everybody's boys. We're all boys. So, hey, you might be on another team. Boozer was on the Cleveland Cavaliers, but I was friends with DeJuan Wagner, hung out with DeJuan Wagner and Booze and these guys all the time. It was the AAU.
You share information. It's natural.
It's different. Yeah. It wasn't as you guys were like, hey, I'm doing my thing. It's different.
May I ask, gentlemen, if you think it's a good idea to say 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, and hear what some listeners have to say about this. Any objections, Key? You want to hear
from love that.
Yeah, I want to hear from the people.
Robin in Alabama, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio.
Hey, Keyshawn, this is Robin. I totally agree with you. You do not bet on your other teams. You're playing a game. You stay in your lane. You want to go out and bet on something else? That's fine. But you don't bet in your little lane there. You stay away.
Yeah, I think like I was saying yesterday on our call, if you wanted to bet on Major League Baseball, bet on Major League Baseball, man. If you want to bet on basketball, bet on basketball. But not in the league.
Better not bet on your own team to win. Boy, that's beyond
that?
The pale. You believe in your team enough to risk your own money? Oh, bad Calvin. Sean in D.C., you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I totally agree with Key about the CBA, but I got some pushback.
what's more egregious, him betting $1,500 on his own team or somebody sitting up in front of the podium putting other people's lives in danger saying they was immunized? Which one is you protecting the shield? How? You're not really protecting the shield. The integrity is not there if you're letting somebody.
By the way, I hear you. I don't love the argument. Yeah. But what about? You want, like, we've talked Aaron Rodgers and not being truthful about his immunization and all that kind of stuff. But like, I don't know how that relates to Calvin Ridley exactly. It's a very loose connection. But I do understand, guys, that some rules are enforced in a way that shows the league cares a lot about this, right? They think it affects their bottom line. They think it affects the integrity of the game is a big thing.
Man, integrity of the game, Max. You know, hey, look, it's not the same in boxing the world you come from, right? If I'm a boxer, I can bet that I'm going to knock this dude out. It's my own money. I don't have to answer to anybody. We see it all day long. Boxers bet on themselves. Mm-hmm. Different than the leagues.
Yeah.
It's totally different.
No, when the whole Pete Rose thing came out, only thing I wanted to know was this. Are you betting on the Reds? You know, if I found out, like, I'm like Pete Rose Hall of Fame. Oh, wait, he bet. Actually, I would still say I don't think it takes away his 4,000 plus hits. But I do understand why he'd be in deep water if he bet against the team he's managing.
Max, I go back to your point about, does it affect the integrity of the game when he wasn't a participant in the game, or the integrity of gambling?
What Key is talking about now with Calvin. Well, there are two arguments. One is we need to make sure that the betting is fair. Not the game is fair, the betting is fair in this case. Don't trade on inside information. The second thing is it's a slippery slope. Let's just make sure that we draw the boundaries around the integrity of the game with enough room that the gray area is on the inside of the boundary. It's like, don't cross the boundary into the gray area.
I just want to clarify again, like, I'm okay with the rule. I just think the punishment is outrageous.
Well, I think that's the point.
The punishment is okay, he's the poster child now for betting in the National Football League and other leagues. This is a message being sent.
That's
because
the
CBA was created, and that, like Max said, that line wasn't, the red line's not there. All it says is essentially don't bet. No betting on games. It doesn't spell out, lay out anything. But now, guess what? It has gotten many people's attention in professional sports to not do it, just in football.
So, Jay, you had an issue with the punishment. You thought it should have been a fine. Let me just throw this scenario out to you, because I think the NFL is trying to send a message and set a precedent, because it's the first time in years that they're suspending a guy outside a guy like this outside of Josh Shaw from the Cardinals. So let me pose it to you this way. What if the NFL looked at it and they said, you know, we could either fine the guy, we could suspend him for a year, or we can throw him out of the league. That's what the NFL could have done. That is in the CBA, that they could have terminated his contract with the league. So they chose the middle ground. So if the NFL was choosing between throwing him out of the league and suspending him for one season.
Why does it have to be a whole year, though? You suspend him for four games.
I'm just saying, those are because that was their options, I'm saying. If the
they only have three options, it can only be a full year? It can't be a part of it?
My only pushback on that, too,
Evan, would be if Calvin Ridley didn't come to the table and say, hey, yeah, okay, like, this is exactly what I did.
He didn't get thrown out of the league.
Wait, Evan, I want to be very clear. They can only have three options.
No,
if it's suspension, it must be a full year.
I'm just giving you those three options.
But that's so they didn't choose the middle one. They chose an extreme one that's not the most extreme one. It's not the death penalty, so to speak, but it's a long bid.
Right,
but
in Jay's scenario, if you just fine him, that's the most lenient. And I think based on what he did, it deserved more than just a lenient fine.
So, I'd give him a game, maybe. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. We had some calls that didn't agree.
Great commissioner.
It would be nice to get some calls that didn't agree.
All right. We got so much more.
Yeah, give us some calls that didn't agree.
And we're going to revisit this topic. KJM on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Stay put.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.